My wife and children and I for 12 years lived among an unreached people group, and we experienced what they talked about there, walking among masses of people in the streets. We lived in a city of 750,000, of 1.5 million, and of 12 million people, walking the streets surrounded by people wall to wall, looking around and seeing. Probably not one of these people know Jesus. Probably not. I would know all the Christians in this city, and they're not one of them. Well, we want to do something about that today. Our theme verse is Psalm 2:8, ask of me, and I will surely give you the nations as your inheritance. Now, the "your" there isn't referring to us. It's a messianic psalm. It's referring to Jesus. Jesus' death on the cross, his sacrifice, he's worthy of the worship of these unreached people groups. And so we're going to ask God to give Jesus this inheritance that's rightfully his. On the walls, the west wall and the east wall, you'll see the names of 12 of the largest the remaining unreached people groups in the world. And we want to lift these up to God today. And I'm going to ask your help in doing this. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to rise, to stand up. And this half of the congregation and over, I want you to turn and face the west wall. And this half, turn and face the east wall. And I want you to look at these, the names of these unreached people groups. And I want you to just pick one of them. One of them that you're going to lift up to God in this next 60 seconds as we pray. I'm going to choose this one because that's where my heart is, among the Turks. And we're going to all pray out loud together and ask God to send missionaries to these unreached people groups and to draw people to himself from these people groups, that there would be churches, multiplying churches among these unreached people groups, and a remnant of people who are worshiping Jesus among them. Join with me in lifting up one people group to God. Lord, I want to lift up to you now the Turks, and Lord, have mercy upon them. I pray that you'd be drawing many to yourself. I pray that you would open the eyes of those blinded and that they would be coming to Jesus. Lord, please give Jesus a rich inheritance among the Turks, that they would be drawn to him and be worshiping and acknowledging him as their Savior, that he alone would be the way, the truth, and the life for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord Jesus, we want to praise you this morning that you are worthy. You are worthy of the worship of every people group on the face of the earth, that your death was sufficient to purchase men from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every people. And Lord, we want these remaining unreached people groups to acknowledge you in the rightful way, that you are Lord and Savior of all the universe. We pray this, Lord, in your name and for your glory. Amen. You may be seated. We want to encourage you that this year you pick one unreached people group and you pray for them on a regular basis in your prayer time. We have an insert in your bulletin that lists these 12 unreached people groups. You can choose one of them, or you can pick your own unreached people group. And there's lots of information you can get off the internet from other resources. And just want to encourage you to make it a regular part of your devotions to be praying and uplifting these unreached people groups to God. This morning, we have our annual missions conference, and the blessing of that is we have our Cherrydale family members who are around the world serving Christ. Some of them are back with us on this Sunday that we can hear from. And this morning at our service, we're going to hear from two of our missionaries. I'd like to introduce our first one, David and Giselle Timby. They're coming forward. David and Giselle have been associated with Cherrydale since 2001. They've served the Lord in Egypt for about 8.5 years, and then they were in Paris, where they were part of a leadership team that oversaw North Africa, the Middle East, and Central Asia. And there's a lot of unreached people groups in that part of the world. Just this past March in 2007, they moved to New York, and they're part of a team reaching out to members of the United Nations. And in the UN, there are a lot of unreached people groups being represented as well. Before going into missions, David was worked for Arlington County for 16 years as an administrator in the Public Works Department. And they're going to come and share this morning a testimony of the power of prayer in their life and ministry. Thank you, David and Giselle.
Thank you, Ed. Well, we could testify to the power of prayer all day, but we'll just give you a few brief ones. Your prayer makes a difference even to us personally. We asked for prayer for our first grandchild. She was born on July the 11th, 15 weeks early, 1 pound, 7 ounces, given 50-50 chance to live. She went home 2 weeks ago with her parents, 2 weeks earlier than the doctor ever could imagine. And it was a testimony to prayer. Prayer makes a difference in our ministry. Our ministry cycle begins on September the 18th this year as we host an international prayer breakfast to the delegates to the diplomats at the United Nations. We ask for prayer for that. And this year, the largest number of diplomats had came to that in 7 years, 215. Out of that group, 45 requested Bibles, 56 requested the video about the life of Jesus Christ. And our opportunities to meet with these people have significantly grown, and we attribute that to prayer. But one of the more personal things, I'll let Giselle share.
What I'm going to share with you is a recent testimony of how God directed us through prayer and also sustained us through prayer. About a year and a half ago, while we were still living in Paris, we were praying that God would direct our steps as we began to sense that for various reasons he was going to send us to a new ministry. Before the answer came, a woman who is a prayer intercessor in Brazil was praying, and God gave her a message for us all the way over in Paris. The message had two parts. The first would be that a current door that was open to us would close tightly, and the second part was after the door closed, then he would tell us where we were going to go. What happened in the months that followed was so dark that we might very well have quit the ministry altogether. But we knew that the door that had closed and left us feeling like everything that God had called us to do had been taken away, we knew that that closed door was actually God's will. 2 more months until God showed us where we were to go, and many of you here at Cherrydale during that time prayed for us, for direction. You wrote to us, you sent us scriptures, you sent us notes of encouragement and things that God had shown you while you were praying for us, and those were the things that sustained us. And believe me when I say that they arrived at just the right time in order to help us get through that day by faith. We were sustained and strengthened in our hearts, and most importantly, there was a sense in our hearts that there were battles being won and fought and won in the heavenlies because of your prayers. It's hard for us to enumerate all the results that came of our prayer partners' efforts during those times, but I can tell you for sure that there are two. One is that we were changed, David and I, and the second is that we now expect much fruit from the ministry that God has sent us to. Thank you.
God is good, isn't he? Aware and mindful and caring for our personal needs, no matter how small, and also with big overarching issues in our life. Thank you for that testimony. Our next missionaries with us today are David and Marilyn Clark. Dave will be sharing with us. Marilyn, if you could just stand for everyone to see you. They've been missionaries for 30 years, more than many of us in this room have even been on this earth. They've been associated with Cherrydale since 1977. They were involved in theological education in Australia, the Philippines, Singapore, and in their last area overseas that they were serving was in India for 7 years. They returned to the U.S. about a year and a half ago, and they're now working at Virginia Tech, reaching out to university students, of which I believe 2,000 of them are international students, many of them from unreached people groups in the world. So, David, please come and share with us.
Go Hokies.
Yes.
After 13 years teaching seminary in Southeast Asia, the Lord directed us to go to Bangalore, India, to help start the Baptist Seminary of South India. When we arrived there, there were two Indian professors, one American missionary also teaching. We started out with two houses that we rented. One was a three-bedroom house that housed the offices, the library, and the garage was our classroom, our chapel, and there was even a little loft in the garage where two students slept. They could literally roll out of bed and come to class. And across the street was a smaller two-bedroom house, which served as dormitory for married students and single gals. We also had to rent other facilities for some single men. After the first year, as the first year came toward an end, it was clear to us that if we were going to expand at all, we needed other facilities. And the owner of that one-bedroom house came and said he wanted his house back. He even wanted it before our school year was done, but we put that off by agreeing that we would vacate one room. And so he could store things in it, and that meant that the married fellow could not sleep with his wife. The men slept out in the living room, and the ladies got the remaining bedroom. It was a very pressing time for them, but it became very clear to us that we needed more room. Our business manager happened to spot a four-story building that was available for rent or lease. He began negotiating with the owners and came back to us and told us that we could lease the building for 10 years for $60,000, the equivalent. It just so happened that we were scheduled to come home to the States for a three-month mini furlough during our summer break. Also, I lined up about meetings in about 10 churches, most of them before we left India, and praise the Lord, one of those churches was Cherrydale. So we came home in this short furlough, trying to raise $60,000. To us, that seemed absolutely overwhelming. But as we went to churches, pastors and people were a great encouragement. I can remember Pastor King standing right back there talking to me and encouraging us. And a man in Atlantic City, one of our supporting churches there, told me, $60,000, that's nothing. I don't know whether he thought I was going to go try the slot machines in the casino there or what, but that's true, isn't it? $60,000 is nothing to the Lord. To me, it was overwhelming. So we went to the churches. We had a lot of encouragement. But when the 3 months were up, not all that much money had come in. But we had promises. We had prospects. Then when we got back to India, we learned that the owner of the main house that we were renting wanted his house back. We definitely had to move. But the other thing we found out was that in this building that we wanted to lease, we would need another $20,000 to refurbish it and to put in partitions and so on to make it usable. This seemed way, way beyond what we could do. But it was beyond what we could do, but not what the Lord could do. And we were reminded of 1 Thessalonians 4:24. He who calls you, he will do it. That was a verse that we chose as our verse when we became missionaries over 30 years ago. And we were trusting God to do it. People were praying, not only in the States, certainly in India, but we had people in Australia and in Singapore praying, and the money began to come in. We're so grateful to Cherrydale. You gave over $15,000 toward that. Another church in Maryland gave a similar amount, but most of the money came in small amounts, $3,000 from Australia when we converted it to U.S. dollars, a gift from Singapore. It was just amazing to us that not only the $60,000, but the $80,000 came in, and it came in a timely fashion so that we were able to begin the school year in that new building. It was not plush by any means. We still had more work to do, but we were able to get a contractor who would do that work. What a great, great encouragement that was to us. This should be an encouragement to all of us to pray. But think through what happened. Prayers move God. God moves upon the hearts of people. So that in this case, people gave, and the recipients of it, what do? They praise the Lord. What do the givers do? They praise the Lord. Prayer puts us in partnership with God. We don't change God's mind or change his plan, but we discover his will and we become part of his program. That was such a tremendous encouragement to us. And I made a point of reminding the students or telling the students as they came to the seminary of how God provided that building. That building will be good for another 6 years. It provides the offices on the ground floor, the chapel, and then on the next floor are the classrooms and library. On the next floor is the married and women's dormitory facilities. The fourth floor is the men's living quarters. And the roof has the kitchen and the men's toilet and shower facilities, as well as a solar panel. And that will do them for the 10 years. But what a great example of how God answers prayer.